Welcome back to this short course on planting a church. And you'll notice that this is session 3, more ways to plant a church. Last time, you know, we looked at these three areas, ways, a Bible study, becoming a church, a parachute plant where somebody is sent into an area, or that sense of burden on the part of a church planter to go into a particular area to start a church. This session, we're going to look at some more ways. Hiving off. Now, hiving off is defined this way. A mother church sends a group to start a daughter church. And the picture here is them saying goodbye to a group of people. Now, hiving off means several things for that mother church. The mother church that says we're going to send a group of people out must have a vision for church planting. In other words, they've got to believe that this is part of who they are and part of their purpose as an established church to plant new churches. And so that is not a very common attitude, I hate to say. Most churches that I know of, when I've talked to them and during those years in California, you know, talking to churches about hiving off a group, said, what about starting a new church? And, you know, many people were scared to let people go, and they couldn't quite believe that statistic I shared with you a couple of sessions ago, that within 6 months, most mother churches received back the number of people that they sent away on a church plant. People couldn't believe that. Most churches are very protective of their people. They hate to have them go off anywhere. And so it takes a real vision on the part of a mother church. Now, you may be part of a church that might consider that, might consider that idea of risking having a group of people that could be sent off and start a new church somewhere else. And you'll notice that it takes the vision for the new church, but it also takes a group of people that is willing to be trained in church planting and everything that needs to be done for that. Now, as an example of this, this church is very dear to me. It's City Church in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a church that my wife and I have financially supported for many, many years. We got connected with this church because of my youngest daughter. I have three children, and my youngest was in St. Louis, Missouri to go to school to Washington University there to be an occupational therapist. And her husband, they got married and moved to that area and went to school. As part of their gathering there in church, they decided to become part of an evangelical church, Evangelical Presbyterian Church, that was on the outskirts of St. Louis. It was off in one of the suburbs. And yet they felt this appreciation for the church and met in a school cafeteria. And when we visited them, we got to worship with them there. It was a delightful church. But that church had a vision for church planting. They were constantly looking for groups that might be willing to take that step of saying, I'll go. Now, within that church ministry of that Evangelical Presbyterian Church, they had a college-age ministry. And that college-age ministry was something that my daughter and her husband joined. And we got to visit that when we went there as well. They had, you know, worship service in the morning, and in the evenings they would gather in a bar. There was a bar owner that went to the mother church, and so he said they could use this bar for their evening gathering. So here's all these, you know, incredibly gifted, knowledgeable college-age kids gathering in this bar on Sunday nights. Well, somewhere along the line, somebody got the idea of what if we took this group of young people and sent them off to become a new church? And so there was a time of planning and praying about that. The leader of that group was part on staff in that mother church. And they decided that they were willing, to, if God would call them to somewhere, they would be willing to go. And so the challenge was given. There was an area that was considered underserved by churches in the St. Louis community, and it was the Lafayette Park area. Now, that area, you know, had been a pretty prestigious area right near downtown St. Louis, but, you know, communities changed, and then they changed back, and there was gentrification. But as a result, in that area, many, many of the churches that had existed in that area had stopped existing. And so this group decided that they were going to target as their place where they would plant a church, Lafayette Park, St. Louis. And so they uprooted, the people who had agreed to go in this church plant, uprooted from where they were living, the apartments or the homes they were living in. They moved into Lafayette Park. They rented apartments there. Some of them bought condos. My daughter and her husband bought a townhouse in a 100-year-old building, which was right around the Lafayette Park area. It's a unique kind of area. And they started a new church. Now, I'll share later something about how they went about that and how they connected with people and just that the strategies that they used. It was an exciting time as they each chose an area that they, with their particular interests and gifts, could bridge to the community. My daughter's case, she loved animals, so she went to a dog shelter and became part of the dog park, opening a dog park in that community where they could bring their dog and met people and began to connect with people, and the church began to grow, and they were looking for a place to meet, and they ended up meeting in what had been a church, but the church had gone out of existence, and so now it was a banqueting hall. But the owner of the banqueting hall said they could meet there on Sunday mornings. Nobody has banquets on Sunday mornings for free, and became a church. Now, the building that's in this drawing here was part of their story as well. This is right on a key corner in Lafayette Park. It had been a Baptist church, but that Baptist church had gone out of existence, and so this building was just sitting there. It was deteriorating. It was deteriorated. But they began to enter into conversations with the owners, which happened to be a pastor and his wife, owners of that building, about purchasing it. And the first price was way, way out of proportion to this little church's capability to pay it. And anyway, as they talked over, I think it was almost a year and a half, 2 years, that they would converse back and forth, the family that owned it sold it to the church, really, for a song. And they went in there and began to rehab that building and began to use it for worship. And that now is sits on a prominent corner in Lafayette Park, and it continues to reach people for Jesus Christ in a powerful way. So that is another way of starting a new church. Now, you may be part of a church or part of a program within a church that says, what if we became a new church? What if we went out to this area in our community and started reaching people for Jesus Christ there? What if? What if? You may be in a position to provide some leadership to that. Please consider the call of God to be part of a hiving off church. So that's one way, is that idea of hiving off. Another way is for a venue to become a church. Now, a venue these days is what is often called another site for the church. In other words, there's a church that grows to a certain size, and then that church begins to establish extensions of that church various places in the community. Now, just one example of that, this is the church where Max Lucado is pastor in San Antonio, Texas. You'll notice the size of that auditorium. They haven't counted the seats, but I guess it seats probably a couple of thousand people. And they have multiple services there. Well, the church grew under Max Lucado's leadership and Bible teaching. The church grew. And then they decided that they were going to extend their worship and their church style to another area of the community. And so in the case of that particular church, Oak Hills Church, they began targeting certain communities that were on the perimeter of San Antonio. And they began new churches. And so that venue became a place where they did church. Now, usually in multi-site churches like that, the local site will have a pastor. In other words, it's somebody that will be up front during Sunday morning worship. If they have Sunday morning worship, it will be a person who will be pastoral. He'll lead a team of people there. But the teaching for the church comes from the mother church. And so Max Lucado's message, or whoever is partnering with him at that time, would be broadcast to these other sites. Now, this has become an incredibly popular way of doing church. Here's just some numbers. That 1942, there was one multi-site church in the United States, and that was Highland Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. By 1990, 48 years later, there were 10 multi-site churches in the United States. And then by 2014, 24 years later, there were 8,000, and the number was growing and growing and growing. Now, what's been happening in many of those places is that these venues are being turned into daughter churches. Why? A couple of reasons. There's concerns about the hero mentality. In other words, you know, everybody identifies in San Antonio, Texas, in those church sites with Max Lucado's teaching, or with, you know, it used to be Bill Hybels' teaching with Willow Creek, Rick Warren, or the people that helped him lead and preach with that Saddleback community and all of its venues. So it's the one person, Larry Osborne, and you can go on with the names of people that are well known within the United States in this multi-site kind of process. But there's been a movement to do away with the venues and turn the venues into local churches themselves. Why? Because they feel like the identity with that one leader, that one teacher, is unhealthy and can be problematic. You may know some of the history of churches in the United States. Mark Driscoll pastored Myers Hill Church. It became a very large church north of Seattle here in the United States. And then, you know, Mark Driscoll was accused of abusing his authority in the church and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in a sense, he was fired by the board of trustees. And all of a sudden, the churches began to fall apart. The venues, they tried to start a new church, but they couldn't because there was this dramatic and traumatic falling of the leader. You see some of the same thing happening elsewhere in the United States. There have been so many prominent leaders that have fallen one way or another. Bill Hybels, they're just trying to pick up the pieces yet in Willow Creek and its venues. And then there's John Ortberg's church in Menlo Park, California, and what happened there. And one after another, something happens, and then the church begins to crumble because it's focused on the hero. Now, my wife and I were on vacation a couple of years ago in Texas, and we were in San Antonio on a Sunday morning, so we decided to go to church. We looked up a church, and to our surprise, it was one of the venues of Oak Hills Church, Max Lucado's church. But that morning, Max Lucado was not broadcast in. Rather, it was a discussion that morning, a powerful discussion, a panel discussion of people within the church who were fostering or adopting, and how this ministry is vital for that particular local community, and encouraging people to sign up, to talk to them, etc. And the pastor, the person who was established as pastor, was somebody who kind of wrapped it up with a brief Bible presentation. Now, they also shared a handout about how that church was becoming independent. And so that's another way that this can happen. There's a desire to not be, not be part of the hero worship, but also a concern to make their ministry local. So those are some other ways to start a new church. You may be part of a large church with various venues, and maybe you could be used to start the discussion about what if we became independent and began focusing on our local ministry. Now, next time we're going to start discussing some principles for church leadership. And so I invite you to come back and join me then. See you then.